Current Affairs.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Current Affairs. I'm Arjun Chowdhury, and today we will be discussing about India's long-term energy strategy, expanding renewables and reducing dependence on fossil fuels. We have with us former Ambassador Prabhu Dayal. We also have a detailed discussion with energy expert Narendra Taneja that we will play in the program in the meanwhile. Prabhu Dayalji, a warm welcome to you on this discussion.
Thank you so much.
Prabhu Dayalji, we already know about the West Asia crisis, the disruption at the Strait of Hormuz, and this has been going on since March the 4th, and it's continued till date. We also have a response from the executive director of the International Energy Agency, Farih Birol, claiming that global oil markets would be in the red zone by July to August this year, and already in the market, 14 million barrels per day is missing, and that is causing a shock to the system. How would you compare what's happening right now with the oil shocks of 1973, 1979, and for that matter, 2022, the oil shock which has been caused by the Russia-Ukraine war as well, and the associated inflation that comes with higher oil prices?
Now, the ongoing West Asia crisis and the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz have triggered the largest oil supply disruption in history, removing over 14 billion barrels of crude oil per day from the global market, as you yourself mentioned. Now, this massive shortfall represents roughly 20% of the world's seaborne energy trade. The blockade has heavily restricted maritime tanker traffic out of the Persian Gulf, forcing oil wells in nations like Iraq and Kuwait to curtail production as local storage fills up. Now, consequently, global crude oil benchmarks have experienced intense volatility. International prices have surged past $100 per barrel, with research groups warning of a worst-case spike to $200 per barrel if the choke point remains blocked for some more months. Importers, particularly in Asia, are facing acute crisis and acute shortages. So therefore, I think that this crisis is bigger than the other ones which you mentioned earlier. And I think it also impacts India, because the closure of the Strait of Hormuz severely threatens India's economy, driving up inflation and straining energy security. And because the narrow choke point handles the bulk of India's crude oil, LNG, and LPG imports from the Gulf, any disruption instantly spikes global energy prices, and it inflates domestic transportation costs while also weakening the rupee. So the 2026 Strait of Hormuz crisis acts as a critical wake-up call for India, exposing the intense vulnerability of its energy security to global volatility in West Asia. Now, with over 60% of its crude imports and roughly 90% of its LPG imports passing through this vital choke point, the abrupt closure of the Strait of Hormuz instantly triggers crippling inflation, soaring trade costs, and a sharp depreciation of the rupee against the dollar. So this crisis emphasizes that relying on a single maritime lifeline is unsustainable, forcing India to urgently accelerate the diversification of energy sources beyond the Persian Gulf.
Prabhu Dayalji, just taking a cue from what you said, multilateralism is something Prime Minister Modi stressed upon.
Crude oil, LNG, LPG, ऐसी एनर्जी जरूरतों के लिए 27 देशों से इंपोर्ट किया जाता था, वहीं आज भारत 41 देशों से एनर्जी इंपोर्ट करता है। बीते दशक में भारत ने संकट के ऐसे ही समय के लिए कच्चे तेल के भंडारण को भी प्राथमिकता दी है। हमारी तेल कंपनियां संकट के समय के लिए काफी मात्रा में पेट्रोल और डीजल का भंडार रखती हैं। बीते 11 वर्षों में 53 लाख मीट्रिक टन से अधिक का स्ट्रेटेजिक पेट्रोलियम रिजर्व भी डेवलप किया गया है।
बीते सालों में सोलर पावर के मामले में भारत दुनिया के टॉप देशों में पहुंच चुका है। पेट्रोल में इथेनॉल ब्लेंडिंग को लेकर अभूतपूर्व काम हुआ है। पहले हमने शत प्रतिशत एलपीजी कवरेज पर फोकस किया। अब हम पाइप से सस्ती गैस पर फोकस कर रहे हैं, सीएनजी आधारित व्यवस्था को प्रमोट कर रहे हैं। ऐसे तमाम प्रयासों के कारण भारत इस बहुत बड़े वैश्विक ऊर्जा संकट का सामना कर रहा है।
There was also the meeting of the foreign ministers from Russia and Iran. What was discussed and how is energy security being addressed at the political and diplomatic front?
On the political and diplomatic front, India is addressing energy-related matters in a very, very active manner. India is very proactive in this regard. Our Prime Minister has pushed for alternative fuels and energy self-reliance, which would be a critical strategy to shield economies like India's from geopolitical vulnerabilities like the Middle East conflicts and choke point disruptions. So by reducing massive import bills, this approach builds macroeconomic resilience, curbs carbon emissions, and ensures sustainable long-term national security in an increasingly volatile global energy landscape.
Speaking about alternative fuel and energy supplies, a coal gasification scheme has been announced to the tune of 37,000 crore rupees. It is a step in the right direction. How is this actually going to benefit consumers in the country? Because they would be the hardest hit by what's happening with the West Asia crisis.
Government's 37,500 crore surface coal gasification scheme is a game changer for India's self-reliance because it would drive the shift of domestic coal into high-value synthetic gas and chemical products. This shift aggressively curbs India's heavy reliance on imports for vital commodities like LNG, urea, ammonia, and methanol, while unlocking the value of vast domestic reserves. This initiative is fundamentally significant to India's energy security and the Atmanirbhar Bharat goals through several concrete pathways eradicating import dependencies. India currently imports over 50% of its LNG and 20% of its urea, as also 100% of its ammonia, 80-90% of its methanol. So by converting domestic coal into syngas, this scheme targets India's massive national gasification goals and directly replaces these foreign sourced critical chemicals and fuels.
Let's now hear what the Union Minister Ashwini Vaishnav had to say on coal gasification.
आज हम सब जानते हैं कि गैस का जितना रिक्वायरमेंट है और दुनिया भर में जिस तरह की जियोपॉलिटिकल सिचुएशन है उस हिसाब से हम आत्मनिर्भर कैसे बने। भारत में प्रचुर मात्रा में कोयला उपलब्ध है, करीब करीब अगर देखें तो आगे के 200 साल के लिए जितना कोयला चाहिए उतना भारत में ऑलरेडी उपलब्ध है। तो उस कोयले का उपयोग करके क्या हम गैस बना सकते हैं, इस विषय पे एक अच्छा प्रयास चल रहा था, उसका फैसला लिया गया है और बहुत ही सामयिक फैसला है, बहुत ही टाइमली फैसला है कोल गैसिफिकेशन की स्कीम। उस गैस को जला के पावर भी प्रोड्यूस कर सकते हैं, उस गैस से एलपीजी का इक्विवेलेंट फॉर्म भी बना सकते हैं और उस गैस से हम फर्टिलाइजर का मैन्युफैक्चरिंग हो, कई सारे जो पेट्रोकेमिकल्स के माने जो एक रिफाइनरी में बाय प्रोडक्ट्स होते हैं उसी तरह के बाय प्रोडक्ट्स यहां पर भी निकाले जा सकते हैं। तो एक तरीके से कोयले से गैस, गैस से फर्टिलाइजर, कोयले से गैस, गैस से पावर, कोयले से गैस, गैस से कई तरह के केमिकल्स, ये बनाने की ये प्रोसेस है और ये बहुत बड़ा फैसला है क्योंकि इस युग में हमें जितना आत्मनिर्भर बने उतना अच्छा है और उतना ही देश के लिए भविष्य का बड़ा इंश्योरेंस बनता है।
There is also an appeal by Prime Minister on taking measures as we took during the COVID-19 pandemic.
देश का हित, देश के लोगों का हित, ये हमारे लिए सर्वोपरि है। आप देख रहे हैं इस समय वैश्विक स्तर पर किस तरह की चुनौतियां हैं। वेस्ट एशिया में संकट की स्थितियां लगातार बनी हुई है, युद्ध के इस माहौल का बहुत नकारात्मक असर पूरे विश्व पर पड़ा है और भारत भी इससे प्रभावित हो रहा है। देश के बढ़ते हुए सामर्थ्य में हमें अपना संयम भी बढ़ाना होगा, हमें मिलकर संसाधनों को बचाना होगा, देश के हितों की रक्षा करनी होगी। जिस तरह कोरोना काल में हमने संकटों का मिलकर सामना किया था, वैसे ही देशभक्ति की भावना से हमें फिर एक बार भारत को इन वैश्विक संकटों से निकालने के लिए एक साथ खड़ा होना ही होगा।
Prabhu Dayal ji, why are we on a war footing right now?
Our Prime Minister urged citizens to restrain their consumption of petrol, diesel and gas. And this serves as a clear indicator of a high-stakes economic emergency triggered by external geopolitical shocks. So the Prime Minister's appeal to treat fuel conservation as a national duty in 2026 amid rising tensions in West Asia and a surging import bill signals that the situation has moved beyond routine budgetary challenges into a structural threat to India's economic stability. And the severity of the situation, as highlighted by the Prime Minister's remarks, can be understood through several key interlinked dimensions. You know, India imports vast majority of its oil and gas, making it vulnerable to volatile global prices. And the ongoing war in West Asia has pushed global energy prices to staggering levels, sharply reducing India's foreign exchange reserves. So therefore, by describing the situation as Sankat Ka Kaal, Prime Minister Modi is explicitly telling the nation that the luxury of high consumption is no longer sustainable.
Earlier today, Aditya Shukla, Akashwani correspondent, had a detailed discussion with energy expert Narendra Taneja on the energy situation in India.
We have Narendra Taneja, energy expert, with us now. So, Narendra ji, welcome to Akashwani News.
Thanks for having me.
To start with, I would like to first understand from you as an expert, how do you see our current energy needs? How much are we dependent on other countries for our fuels? Please give us a basic picture of the energy sector. How do you see the current energy sector?
Well, if you look at our country's energy landscape, you know, at present, we have a mixed picture in the sense that when it comes to renewable energy, in particularly solar and also wind to a very great extent, we have done exceedingly well. In fact, we have done better than most developed countries, you know, in the global north. The same more or less goes also for coal sector. In coal sector also, I think we have done very, very well, especially with new policy initiatives and the overall, you know, capacity that we have got now in terms of the production of coal is absolutely outstanding. However, when you look at hydrocarbons, mainly oil and gas, our dependence on imports is roughly in the region of 89%. You know, we import 89% of our total requirement of oil in the country. Of course, that includes crude oil that we import, refine. Also, we export to almost like 106 countries around the world. And the natural gas we import, also we import LPG quite substantially. So when it comes to hydrocarbons, our dependence has been there for a very long time. And in fact, we are a fast-growing economy, among the fastest-growing economies in the world, which means that our dependence on imports is only growing because we expanded the LPG network. We have expanded a road network. That means, you know, motor vehicles on the road, therefore more consumption. The same goes for industrial activities. So as I said, that when you look at India's overall energy landscape, it's a mixed picture, it's a multicolors. In some areas, we are doing exceptionally well, and in some areas like in oil and all that, we have significant challenges, especially since the America-Iran war in the Persian Gulf area, which has traditionally been an important region for us in terms of our oil, sourcing oil, sourcing LNG, sourcing LPG, and also to some extent fertilizer. So that has kind of emerged as a challenge. However, I think, you know, we have been following the strategy of diversifying the supply so that we are not dependent only on anywhere in particular geography beyond a point. So that is also in play.
So there has been a lot of focus on diversification exactly as far as our energy sources are concerned. So how significant is it for us to diversify the energy sources in today's uncertain world order?
Well, since we are the third largest consumer of energy on the planet, and we are also the fastest growing market in terms of the incremental growth in demand of oil. So therefore, for countries of our size, countries of our national ambitions and also strategic importance, we have no alternative but to diversify the sources of supply of oil, of gas, of LPG and equipment, machinery, especially when it comes to solar power. And that's the kind of a strategy which is being pursued very aggressively all across the board. So right now, if you look at the landscape, we import oil from roughly 42 countries. And we export petroleum products after we process and refine to about 106 countries. And since the war started in the Persian Gulf area, in fact, we have expanded this even further. In the sense, now we are hunting for even more countries, more suppliers in terms of oil and gas in particular, and also LPG. So which means that, you know, this is a kind of ever-expanding area. So that, you know, we are not dependent on any one geography. But at the same time, you know, we have also invested heavily in building strategic reserves for petroleum. And we are expanding that capacity as well. And at the same time, since the crisis started in the Gulf, we have now also started at least thinking and working in terms of creating reserves, strategic reserves for LPG and also for natural gas. So, but that's of course going to take some time. But at least the thinking in terms of making strategic reserves for the next 90 days. For 90 days in an event kind of event that we have seen in the recent past or we actually continue to witness. So that's all part of the medium-term to long-term planning.
How do you see the role of oil marketing companies in today's times when we are facing a lot of challenges in this sector?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, when you look at our oil and gas sector, or India's energy sector, you go anywhere in the country and you have access to oil, you have access to LPG, you have access to gas, and in some areas, you know, you may have some difficulty in finding water, but you find oil everywhere traditionally. I mean, of course, you know, since the war started, there have been a bit of disruption in here, there. But when you look at the oil and gas infrastructure, that's available across the country, even in the most remotest area. And the responsibility, you know, or the mandate that these companies have, like Indian Oil, Bharat Petroleum, Hindustan Petroleum, you also have some private company. You also have some joint venture, which are like with the Indian private sector companies by some foreign multinationals. So all that is there. So I think the responsibility on the part of these companies is tremendous, because these companies are the ones responsible for going wherever they can find oil. So buy that oil, buy that gas, you know, mobilize it using ships and insurance and so on, bring it to India and then refine it, process it, distribute it, retail it. So it's a tremendous responsibility on these companies. So I think these companies play a very, very important role, A, in terms of making energy available to the ordinary consumers, both domestic and industrial, and at the same time, you know, overall India's energy security. However, that said, at the same time, do these companies need to do more? Do these companies need to modernize further? Do they need to companies to expand further? Do we need to give them more autonomy so that they can do their job even better? The answer to all this question is yes. So since we are so heavily dependent on these companies for India's energy security and availability of oil to the ordinary Indian, so I think we need to strengthen these companies further, make them more modern, make them more bold-driven, give them more autonomy that they need, and at the same time, you know, to support them so that they can have a strong balance sheet so they can continue to do their job. Get one thing, these companies have the challenge of going all over the world and securing oil and gas for the Indian consumer, and they have to compete with the companies from the likes of, you know, China and Japan and Korea and many other countries. So it's not easy. So therefore, it's important that healthier these companies are in terms of their balance sheet, stronger these companies are in terms of their fundamentals, you know, they'll be able to do their job better, because as I said, they have to compete with some of the biggest and the most powerful marketing and oil companies and refining companies in the world. It's not an easy job, but they're doing it. They've done it so far very well.
Okay, so do you think that oil marketing companies have acted as a shock absorber in the ongoing conflict in West Asia?
The thing is that, you know, oil prices have been rising, as we all know, you know, since the war started.
Yes.
Yeah, so the prices used to be in the region of about $70 per barrel, and today prices are in the region of $105, $110 per barrel. But at the same time, we have seen these companies have not been able to and not been allowed to pass on, you know, the entire burden to the ordinary consumer at the petrol pump or the gas pump. So the result is that these companies are under tremendous pressure on their balance sheet, because they have to buy dollars, they have to go all over the world, they have to secure that oil, then bring it, and the shipping costs have gone up, insurance costs have gone up, and oil prices have gone up. So the economics overall of importing oil and processing, refining, distribution have gone through a big challenge. So therefore, it's important these companies, if they have to continue to do the job that they have been assigned to do, they've been mandated to, that we as a nation make sure that these companies are in good shape. Right now, I don't really think that these companies are in tremendously good shape. They probably need a little bit more autonomy, more freedom. And at the same time, one understands that you can't pass on the entire burden to the ordinary consumer.
So this was about the oil marketing companies. Now let's come to the efforts of the Government of India. So how do you see the Government of India's efforts for ensuring that its energy needs are fulfilled and there is no adverse effect on the consumers amid the global energy crisis?
Well, you see, for a country of India's size and India's energy needs, as I said earlier, that we are the third largest consumer of oil in the world, energy in the world actually as a whole. And so therefore, at the time when the oil prices are going up, the gas prices are going up, shipping prices are going up, insurance cost for bringing energy is going up. So at the same time, the rupee is heavily challenged, you know, in terms of its value vis-a-vis other currencies, most particularly dollar. So in such a situation, you know, it's a huge job challenge for the Government of India. And for that are also for state governments, various state governments, to really make sure that energy is available to the ordinary consumer at affordable prices. But I think, you know, that so far the government has managed it very well. If you look at the numbers very carefully, the oil or gas prices, when the oil and gas prices were rising all around the world, but the government managed to somehow shield the ordinary consumer for a very, very long time. You know, it's only recently that the government has basically allowed the burden to be passed on to the consumer to in the about 3.90 rupees in total. However, it's a tough job. I think the consumers and the people also understand the world over prices have gone up and we are heavily dependent on imports for oil and gas. So therefore, I think there is a growing awareness on the part of the people that, look, this is a commodity that we import heavily. This is a commodity that we pay foreign dollars to import. And this is a commodity, bulk of it come from the area where the war is going on. So I think my sense is that there is greater understanding on the part of the consumers and on the part of the people. And therefore, the challenge for both the companies which are responsible and the government, both the central and state government, is to have more communication with the ordinary consumer, with the consumer as a whole, to explain the situation and at the same time try to continue to shield especially the vulnerable sections of the Indian society to the extent possible. Huge challenge, but so far the job is reasonably well done.
Exactly. And there is a lot of talk about the self-reliance in energy sector, as Prime Minister Narendra Modi has also emphasized on it. So how do you see India's renewable expansion, as we have done really substantial as far as this sector is concerned?
Well, when we look at the world economy as a whole, the world economy as a whole is still fossil fuel economy. That means oil, gas and coal. So 79.90% world economy is still fossil fuel economy. You go to any country, that's the situation. There may be exceptions here and there, like countries like Norway or maybe a couple of other countries. But by and large, the world economy is a fossil fuel economy. And India also is a fossil fuel economy. Most of our electricity is still coming from coal and we are heavily dependent on oil and natural gas and LPG, etc. So, however, at the same time, you know, we have moved very aggressively on renewables and we are among the most successful countries in terms of the, you know, renewable energy. Look at, for instance, the solar power generation installed capacity today is among the best in the world. And we have actually expanded more aggressively and more successfully in renewables than most developed countries. So, which I think is being noticed the world over and is being even appreciated. However, at the same time, the thing is that we need to recognize, since we are a large country, we are expanding very fast, we are growing very fast. So therefore, renewable energy is not supplementing fossil fuels, is not supplementing oil or gas or even coal at the moment. So renewable energy is basically supplementing, it's not replacing. I think, you know, so renewable energy so far is supplementing oil, gas and coal. And I think it may take another 15 to 20 years before it starts really replacing fossil fuel. It's a long journey, but we are on that journey. In the meantime, what we need as a country is we need more oil, we need more gas, we need more coal. At the same time, we need more renewable energy because we want to reduce our dependence on imports. And oil we heavily import, gas we heavily import, we even import some coal. So the strategy of the government is long term and the strategy is to eventually go for energy independence. It is going to take some time. It's going to take maybe 20, 25 to 30 years. But we are very much, you know, moving in that direction with the milestones clearly identified so that eventually renewables and nuclear power can replace oil, gas and coal. But as I said, right now we need all sources of energy, renewables, oil, gas and coal. We need every single source of energy. But the target is basically to go for green energy, renewable energy, and more of nuclear power. So we are moving in that direction. But as he said, the journey is long. So far, renewables are basically supplementing. But in 20 years from now, they may start replacing. And then the entire landscape will look greener than ever before.
We will conclude with this question. As an expert, what should be our long-term strategy for becoming self-reliant in the energy sector?
For me, basically 2 points here quickly. Number one is that, first of all, we have to make sure that every Indian has access to affordable energy in the same amount that's available in big cities like Delhi and Bombay. So far, we have a large number of people who are below energy poverty line, so we must make sure the energy is available to them without looking at the color of that energy, whether it's renewable or is fossil fuel and all that. They have the right to have access to energy, irrespective of its color or its origin, or whether it's coming from renewable or it's coming from fossil fuel. At the same time, long term, we need to be realistic in the sense we should avoid getting trapped in this Western narratives that only green energy is the future, or we should work only for green energy. No, for India's economy and our kind of situation, we need all sources of energy on priority. We need renewables more aggressively. Mm-hmm. We need oil and gas also equally more aggressively.
Thank you for this insightful discussion.
Thank you so much.
Prabhudayal ji, do tell us about the strategic petroleum reserves that India has, and how does the recent development of the United Arab Emirates exit from OPEC create an opportunity for India? We're also having feedback from the US saying that we have all the oil supplies for India. How do you see all of this playing out in terms of the quality of fuel that India can have access to at this stage?
The UAE's exit from OPEC presents major strategic opportunity for India to enhance its energy security. Now, freed from cartel quotas of the OPEC to ramp up production, the UAE can now negotiate long-term supply contracts and competitive prices. Now, India is leveraging this by expanding crude storage partnerships, including an agreement for the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, or ADNOC, to store 30 million barrels in India's strategic reserves. So by securing these volumes, India can effectively build a robust energy buffer while lowering its import bill. Now, to maximize this development, India can implement the following strategies. Firstly, lock in long-term supply agreements directly with Abu Dhabi for consistent, unconstrained crude flows. Secondly, accelerate the ongoing discussions on the rupee-dirham oil trade settlements, bypassing dollar-dominated OPEC norms. Thirdly, utilize UAE pipelines that terminate directly on the eastern coast, like the Fujairah pipeline, to safely bypass the geopolitical volatile Strait of Hormuz. Now, if you look at the map of UAE, Fujairah is located outside the Strait of Hormuz. So that is why this pipeline, which I'm referring to, has great significance. Basically, we have learned a lot of lessons from the ongoing Strait of Hormuz, and we are fashioning our new policies in the light of the emerging challenges. In this context, India's draft National Electricity Policy 2026 is very, very important, because as India rapidly scales its economy to meet the demands of a 1.45 billion strong population, its energy needs are growing faster than almost any other major country. So while short-term fuel austerity measures, such as optimizing consumption, are necessary during this crisis, they are not going to be a sustainable solution to India's long-term energy security challenge. So with an over 85% dependence on oil import and substantial reliance on imported coal and gas, India has to move beyond conservation towards a radical structural transformation. So to overcome the present energy challenge, India needs a multi-pronged strategy focusing on aggressive renewable scaling, robust energy storage, grid modernization, and technological diversification. Therefore, the proposed 2026 energy sector reforms in India, centered on the draft National Electricity Policy, aim to transform the power sector for the 24/7 renewable energy, achieve single-digit distribution losses, and drive industrial decarbonization. So all said and done, we are pursuing a very comprehensive energy policy.
Thank you so much, Prabhu Dayalji, for giving us an understanding of what India's long-term energy strategy is and how India is expanding renewables and reducing their dependence on fossil fuels. Prabhu Dayalji, once again, thank you for being with us on Akashvani.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on EIR, and our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official.
Current Affairs.